Okay, everybody, what's up? It's your girl Keisha. Put Your Phone Down podcast. Y'all, usually I name an episode. I want to say I'm on episode 12. That's just how blessed I feel to know that, you know, doors are indeed happening. I have a young lady on the line, and y'all, this young lady is an inspiration. Before I introduce her, I want to give a special thanks to India. India, thank you for rocking it and linking us up. And another shout out to Miss Tashima Wilson. Tashima, you shared your story, and I want you to know that you have started something, and it started something positive and beautiful. Ladies and gentlemen, I have my special guest, Monique Ray, on the line. Monique is 30 years young. She's a young, educated, beautifully spirit woman. We had our first encounter talking on the phone yesterday, and boy, does she have a story for you. Her story is filled with ups and downs, but when I spoke to her yesterday, it sounded like she's on the up. That's what I believe. So I'm seeing this with such a beautiful smile on my heart and my face. Monique, thank you for hopping on the line, and thank you for the story that you are about to share with us.
Thank you for having me. And I also want to thank the two ladies that you did just mention, India and Miss Tashima. She really touched my heart, and I would love to work with her in the future. And I can't wait to what God is going to bring in store for everything. You know, every person who's going through what I've been through and what Tashima and India has been through.
Yeah, so this is what I really love doing, Monique, is reaching out to people, because I feel everybody has a story. And you shared with me briefly what you have gone through. And like I said, just at 30. And so I'm going to let you have the floor. You know how this goes, but I want you to just go ahead and share your story.
All right. Well, thank you again. Again, my name is Monique. I am 30 years old. Me and my boyfriend was planning to have another child, because we have a 6-year-old now. And so making of the baby, it went great. We got pregnant when we, wanted to. When I was about 27 weeks pregnant, they did an ultrasound. And that ultrasound was very weird, because the nurse who did it, she just walked out. Like, didn't say I'd be right back or anything. She went to go get another person. So another person did another ultrasound. And by the end of the appointment, they made me an echo ultrasound. Again, this is my second child. I was only 27. I didn't know what an echo ultrasound was. So I'm thinking my baby is fine. So once I go to the echo ultrasound appointment, they come back. They put me in the room after the ultrasound, and they came back and told me, it was during COVID as well, so no one could come with me. I was by myself. I did have my mom on the phone with me, so you know, the doctors could explain what was seen. So they seen that my son had truncus erythrosis, which is a heart defect. So us humans are born with two valves to our heart, and my son was only going to be born with one. I was depressed about that and stuff. But with me being the child of God, I prayed that he was going to be okay. He was going to be healed. And with some people, you know, our healing, we want them to be here healed. But God healing is a different, it's a different definition. So I had him. I wasn't able to see him for 24 hours. I was at Methodist. He had to be rushed to Riley because he was having a hard time breathing. He was born 4 pounds and 6 ounces. But I did carry him for a term. I couldn't hold him for 5 days after he was born. And a beautiful nurse, her name was Brooke. I will never forget her. I was, you know, crying. I was like, I still haven't been able to hold my child, like skin to skin, to connect with my baby. Even though we was already connected for 9 months, I wasn't able to hold my son. But Brooke, she promised me, she was like, by the end of my shift, you will be holding your son. And I guarantee you, by the end of her shift, I was holding my son. He had ups and downs before the surgery. And the doctors kept doing rounds on him each and every day. And then it got to the point where they was like, we wanted to wait until he got a little bigger to gain weight. But we can't wait no longer. So we're going to schedule the surgery. They scheduled the open heart surgery for August 4th. And he had the surgery. We was shaking, shook up. They was doing good with the updates of the surgery. Surgery went very, very well. So they left his chest bone open. With him being so small, his heart and stuff was swelling. So they left his chest bone open, so it can, you know, the swelling can go down. And then on the 7th, they decided that, you know, all the swelling went down. And his lungs is, you know, releasing fluids very well. So they decided to close him up. Of course, you know, I had, my son was 3 at the time. I had another child I had to attend to as well. So I ended up leaving the hospital that day. On August 8th, I decided to leave the doctor that day, to go, you know, to the store to get my son some things. That day, while I'm inside the store, I get a call. Of course, my heart drops. And they just say, we lost your son. And I'm just like, you lost my son? Like, he's not even walking. So what do you mean? You need to be specific, you know, because a parent don't want to hear that their son was lost. So they was just saying, we lost his blood pressure and heartbeat. We're currently doing CPR trying to get him back. I'm like, okay, I'm on my way. So I calmed down, rushed to my boyfriend to go pick him up. So we rushed to the hospital. As soon as we got up there, they didn't let us see because they were still trying to get him back. One doctor told me that they did CPR for 4 minutes. Then it was another doctor that told me that they did CPR for 10 minutes. And so it was left at 10 minutes for a while. And we're like, okay, he should be okay. He kept having seizures and stuff like that. And I'm like, how did this happen? And it was I know it was a student nurse, and then it was another nurse in the hospital, I mean, in the room. And they said, we turned him on his stomach. Now, he just had open heart surgery, and he just had another surgery to close his bone. Can't even an adult human handle being turned on their stomach after an open heart surgery. So I never did understand that. They told me that it was a respiratory exercise, which I don't understand. I still to this day don't understand, and still ask God to give me an understanding. But that's how he coded. Again, like I said, he did continue having seizures back to back to back. So then a neurologist called me and told me I need to call my family. And so the floor head doctor and the neurologist had me in the room. Again, it was COVID, so I was in there by myself. And basically on August 27th, they told me that I had to either make a decision whether to let my son be a vegetable or let him pass. During these visits, it was rough. I did have some very nice nurses, but at the same time, with, you know, letting him go, we had some very rude chaplain. He was very rude, and the nurse, she was, I mean, she was direct, but she was rude with it as well, because we, you know, we was trying to see, like, what decision should we make, because one, that's one of the hardest decisions that a parent should have to make, was to either have 24-hour help or to let your child be released to God's arms. So she was just like, he's gonna die anyway. So we just like, okay, we brushed that off, and we talk. I did talk to the head doctor of that floor, and it was just me and her at the time. The neurologist already left because she told me there was nothing else they could do. So I told her, I said, take that white coat off and bring in your mother mode. What would you do? And she cried everything with me and was just like, I would not let my son suffer or my child suffer like that, because that's no way to live. So then I talked to, you know, my parents, my boyfriend's parents, and we all came to an agreement to go ahead and let him go, because it wouldn't be fair for our, at the time, 3-year-old, because all the attention would be on him, on our sick child, and not him. So we all came to an agreement that we was going to go ahead and release him to God. Of course, we did pray for healing, and I knew he was going to heal him. I just didn't know whether it was in my way or his way. And I like to tell you all that God makes no mistakes, because there's a purpose in your life. And I never knew my purpose until my son left me.
Well, let me take a pause right there. And you know I'm not cutting you off. I'm going to just let you, you know, get your breather in. And also, you know, I'm just hearing this as you sharing it. And I went through every roller coaster, and I'm just listening. You know, it sounds like it was a lot of neglect, you know, and it just made me, it made me enraged. So I noticed my sounds a little off, but what was your feeling as you're taking all of that in?
From when they told me that they put him on his stomach, I was upset. I was ready to blow up Riley. I'm not even gonna lie. I was ready to throw hands. I was ready to whatever. Because, again, this is an infant, and y'all decided to put him on his stomach the day after y'all closed his chest bone up. So I was angry then. And then when they told me there was nothing else they could do, I was lost. I felt alone because, again, it was COVID. I was by myself. I felt alone. I felt empty. I felt numb, like in disbelief that I really have to make this decision to let my son go. And now I have to look at him and threw a teddy bear with his ashes in it. So, and majority of the feeling was just numb. I was numb because a part of my heart, you know, left me.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that just the story that you told, you know, I embodied that emotion as well. Just the not knowing really where to place your emotion. And like you said, you got a little one who, like you said, is now 6 and thriving. But walk me through having to be a young mom and you dealing with this news that you pretty much have to carry on. Feels like you by yourself. And then having this other little baby running around and, you know, just being happy and not at all knowing what's going on. Walk me through how you could handle those emotions and still be the mom for him.
Just him as the little kid that he is, he's filled with so much energy, and he's just a happy kid. To this day, as a 6-year-old, he's so funny. He has such a character. Like, he's such a character. Like, he can make anybody laugh or anybody smile. That's what definitely kept me going. But the number one thing that has kept me going and still got me going is the grace of God and God's strength. It's not my strength, it's God's strength that he has given me.
Right, Monique. This is all Spotify for Podcast's fault, but I'm going to say we had some technical difficulties. I'm going to apologize for the listeners for this, but we will get it together. We will get it lined up. You were talking about your baby boy, so I have not forgotten where we were with that, and just a joy that he's been.
Yes. He has his moments. He like grabs his picture and just kiss it and just talk about his baby brother. Like, I want to see my baby brother. He's never coming back, is he, mommy? So that gets me, but he'd be like, it's okay, I'm gonna see him again. So that makes me smile knowing that he knows that he's gonna see his baby brother again and that he's with God. So that just put a smile on my face because I just want him to know that, you know, they only was able to see each other once in person, and that's when he was passing. So that kind of hurt me too. And then another thing, you had asked me how I feel. I also felt cheated.
Mm-hmm.
Cheated of time with my son.
Yeah, I mean, those are emotions that, you know, they're fair, for one, because we are human and we're going to feel it no matter how church filled we are. You know, we have emotions like anybody else. And I would think at times you don't really know where to put those feelings. You know, you are allowed to be as raw and as angry as you want, you know. And that's just a human reaction. So when you're going through those feelings, like you said, of feeling cheated, of being upset, and you go, where's the light switch? How do you go from those feelings to then still having to be with a child, you know, who still needs you and still wants you to play with them? How do you turn that switch off where you one moment you're mourning, and I'm not saying that you don't stop mourning, but you have to jump into happy mode, you know?
Two things. One, of course, my son, you know, I have to, he wants to play and be happy. So I will be happy. Second thing, I started a support group 3 months after my son passed. After my son passed away. And that's what keeps me going today, is helping others. Like having people put their problems on me and me trying or being able to fix them. Again, I do go back to my problems, but most of all, it's helping someone get through what I'm going through. I help them, they help me. So that's another thing that's keeping me going, is being happy, is my support group that I have been placed to do.
So let's get into this support group, because it looks like it's some big events coming up.
Yes.
Oral, because what you are about to talk about, it's going to be a big deal. You know, I know what I'm talking about.
Yes, ma'am.
This is going to be a big deal. So I want you to talk about this organization that you got going on.
Yeah, so my organization, the group that God placed on my heart to be able to call this support group. It's called A Part of Me, Our Angels World. Because it's not my world, it's their world. And, you know, people forget people after they pass away, you know. And I'm here to let everyone know that is in the group that your child name will forever be living on in this world as long as I'm alive, as long as you're alive. This organization is not just for, like myself, children that passed away from sickness. I have gun violent parents in my group. I have overdose. I have suicide. I have miscarriages because I've had two miscarriages of myself. And I know exactly how I felt when I had a miscarriage. I was depressed as well. I even had to be put on medicine. But it's for any type of loss of a child. My thing is, you prepare, once you find out you're pregnant, you prepare your body, you prepare your mind to be a parent. And once you lose that child within your stomach, your womb, you know, that's still, I consider that that's a loss, because you preparing yourself to be a parent. And like me, my, you know, their time was cheated.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically what this group is. We uplift each other. We do not stay in the dark. I mean, of course, we're going to have dark moments, but there's always someone there to be there for you. If I'm in a dark moment and I can't be there for you, someone in that group is going to be there for you regardless. So we just uplift each other. We try to do outings. We also try to feed the homeless. We trying to, that's what's in the workings now, and adopt families for those who parents have went away and, you know, left behind children. So that's what we in the working of. I am trying to give back to the community, but I'm just trying to, you know, raise the funds. For that, that is why I am having a conference. It's not just for the fundraiser, but it's just to, you know, hear people's story and just be out and have fun, because it's going to be a pop-up shop there. But we'll talk more about that when you ask about it.
Well, yeah, I was going to go into it and also give a little PSA. And it's going to go right into line. This organization, it sounds well needed. It's a lot of people that suffer in silence. And I'm really glad that just 3 months after your situation, you decided, okay, let me reach back. And what you're trying to do is cover all the bases, because it's going to be somebody hurting at all time. Mm-hmm. But you just want to be there visibly. And I really and truly support that. So what I heard is that you have an event coming up. Also, I don't know if I heard it or if I'm saying it, we are, and I'm saying we, we are seeking people who are hurting. You guys, this sister over here, she's doing some things, and I'm going to let her tell you where she's located. And again, about the organization, but this covers all bases, you guys. It's covering people who have lost their babies. And it sounds like she's also starting up something for people who may have lost a parent. This has legs to grow. So it looks like she wants is your help. So go ahead and let us know about this awesome event that you got coming on and where you're located at.
Yes, so it is going to be our 3rd year anniversary, which I decided to do a conference. It will be November 11th of 2023. Doors will open at 2:45. It will be taking place at School 43 off West 40th Street. There's going to be singers. There's going to be vendors, so we're going to do a little pop-up shop there. There's going to be speakers who has experienced losing a child. There's also going to be a poet. And then myself will be praise dancing. And then there's going to be some wonderful food. I don't even, like, it's going to be great food. I'm not going to go over the menu. Just be there and be hungry. Not even just for food, but for a ministry, you know?
Yeah. It sounds like, so this is located in Indianapolis?
Yes, ma'am. Indianapolis, Indiana. Yes.
Okay. So this is in Indianapolis, people. Also, I'm just going to be frank. What, tell the people what you would like from them. Are we taking in donations? Are we taking in lightly worn clothing? Just tell the people what you would like, because some people is ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, so we are taking donations, because also that I did not mention, we do help. There is still parents out here that is struggling with working or struggling with trying to survive after losing their child or burying a child, because funeral services is not cheap. It's not cheap at all. So we are taking donations. Like I tell everybody, donations is not just money. Donations is food. Donation is clothing. Donations is maybe, I mean, anything. Anything is appreciated, it really. So we are taking donations for anything, whether it's word to mouth to mouth about this conference or this group. Yeah, just support and prayers, okay. Most of all prayers.
So we need our donators. And also, for your pop-up that's happening in November, are you looking for volunteers? If you need somebody to help?
I do. I need, we are looking for volunteers to set up, to clean up afterwards. We're looking for more vendors to come and, you know, show their gifts, what God had gifted them, any information that they want to share. We are looking for people to do that.
So, okay, this is a big event coming up.
Yes, yes.
You know, I'm going to ask you to repeat the location again. I know it's in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. What's the location again?
So it's at School 43 off West 40th Street. I'll have to look at the flyer to get the exact address, but I know it's off West 40th Street at School 43.
School 43. This is next month, you guys. Monique Ray, I started off saying, a young woman who faced a lot of ups and downs. If you guys are still listening to this podcast, I want you to know something. I did not know the direction that this was going to take, but I want anybody who is listening, who's having their moments in life, to know that if this young lady went through all of the things she was going through, and had to pretty much be there for everybody while she was going through it, then wherever you are in life, you can do it too. She does not have to be here to share her story, but she's sharing her story because she decided 3 months after what she experienced to help others. This organization is looking for donations, volunteers. This could be something that you, if you are having a down moment, this could be something where you go and you just might meet someone who can pull you out. She said they have events going on when the ladies all get together, you know, and they have a good time. This is a support group. Monique, before we wrap up, I wanted to ask you as well, is there a way that the donations can be sent? So as far as clothes, if it's somebody that's up here by me, is it a way that they can ship it? And if so, where can they ship that? And when it comes to the money donations, is there a type of way that they can get that to you as well?
Yes, absolutely. So I don't have a building, so it will get shipped to my house, which I don't want to put that, you know, in public. You can also email me at a part of me, or no, I'm sorry, it's APOAOW2020@outlook.com. You can email me and I will get you the information. As far as money wise, we do have Cash App. Again, is APOMAOW with the money sign in front. Or we have Zelle, and you can also email me if you want to donate through Zelle, and I will give you the number to send that. But yes, that's how we are doing it for right now.
This sounds good. So again, listeners, if you are free, tell me that date again. Drop that date one more time.
November 11, 11/11.
That's my dad's birthday. So, okay, if you guys are free, 11/11, and you are in the vicinity, you in Knapp, and you've been feeling that it's time to start helping others, this is a good way to start. It sounds like it's a sisterhood. It sounds like when she said, when I'm down, it's somebody who can still be there for you. You know, if you don't need it right now, send this to somebody who you feel like might need it. And I'm telling you, volunteering and being around like-minded people is a whole vibe. Like, I mean, it's a whole vibe. So it sounds like your story, Monique, is pretty much pulled at my heart.
And I'm sorry not to cut you off. It's not just for women, it's for men as well, because men grieve differently. I do have men in my group as well. So I just wanted to put that out there real quick.
So let men, folk, this for you too. Like she said, men do grieve differently. So this means pretty much you guys get on out there. Man, woman, bring your child too. You know, we need you at the forefront, okay? We need you at the forefront. So, like, again, this young lady has went through a lot. And as you all, you know, hug your kids, hug them tighter.
Mm-hmm.
And remember Monique's story that she proudly got on this podcast and told. Okay, because she actually, through her pain, is making a difference. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that is so much admiration from me to you. Monique, we still got a little bit of time. What I usually close out with is asking my guests who their GOAT is. So usually people say somebody musically, but if it's a poet, who is your greatest of all time person? Who gets you through?
Who? I think you said who, not what. Okay.
Now, it could be a word. I'm intrigued. Whatever you about to say, is it nasty? Because we can get nasty. Okay.
I mean, I do sometimes, but most of all, it's gospel music and me. I was writing poems, but I also had started writing a book. That's what tripped me out about yesterday. But that's a different story.
Yeah, girl, yeah, you're lying.
So, yeah, that's what it is. And this past couple of weeks, I went to painting. I don't know how to draw. I don't know. I just paint on a canvas and just paint and listen to music. So that
gets you through. Well, who's your favorite gospel artist that you banging now?
I'm banging Tamla Mann. I'm banging Jason Nielsen, Tasha Cobbs. I really love them all, honestly. Kiera Shepherd.
So this might turn into something else. I'm going to ask you really quickly. Mm-hmm. Since we're talking about gospel, Kirk Franklin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have you caught his documentary?
Yes, I did. I did.
Okay. I did. You all that don't know, Kirk Franklin has probably, what is it, about 30 minutes or so, mm-hmm. documentary where he finds out this cat that had been in the vicinity the whole time is his dad. Mm-hmm. And got DNA twice. And his birth mom still denied it.
Mm-hmm.
So in this documentary, it was so raw because Kirk said because of that, how he was brought up, mm-hmm. he didn't know how to love and express love, and he mm-hmm. felt everybody around him was cheated.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard the new, they don't call it CD no more, but whatever. Have you heard all of it? Father's Day? I think it was released early this month.
It was released. I have not heard it yet.
Okay.
Have you?
I have not. That's what I was about to say.
No,
look, you ain't.
I haven't. So look, we got an assignment to do now.
Yeah, absolutely. It might be a song on there that we could absolutely relate to. But I guess there was a shameless plug to Kirk Franklin. If you are listening, let me put it out there. We are in full support of you and that documentary. So
mm-hmm.
you got a dope gospel playlist, and you got a dope soul, and your organization is dope. And I hope that this podcast reaches the right people who can continue to pass it on and pass the word. You guys, for more information, Monique, is it okay if they know your Facebook information where they could request
yeah.
you as a fan? Okay.
Yeah, of course.
So for more information, she's on Facebook with Monique Ray, and her flyer is on there. Also on my Put Your Phone Down podcast, you guys know her story will be up there. Her reel will be up there. And you guys just pass it. If you see it, pass it. Somebody might need it. So Monique, thank you for your time. Thank you for your story. Just thank you for your spirit. This has been beautiful. And now that I got your number.
Yes.
You already know, if it hit me, I'll be calling you up.
Yes, ma'am.
For my listeners, I really want to thank you for rocking with me. Without you guys, I would not actually be on episode 12. Without you all, I wouldn't forget what number episode I had. Just a small testimony. The minute I decided to be consistent and hone in on my craft, such as like Monique, I started seeing the doors open. So it does not matter where you start, you all. It can get ugly in the beginning stages.
Mm-hmm.
But if you continue to put one foot in front of the other and remain consistent, you will be standing in it. So till the meantime, you all, thank you for rocking with Put Your Phone Down podcast episode 12 with my special guest, Monique Ray. You guys share it and like it. And until the meantime, see you episode 13.